Hey guys, welcome to another edition of Wrestling with Death. I am your ghost host with the most, the Reaper Matt Conard, and my guest today is a man of many hats. He is a wrestler, he is an actor, he is a podcaster, a documentarian, he's a director.
Oh my gosh.
Basically.
This guy sounds hot.
Basically. Basically, he's, my guest today is the man I want to be when I grow up. Ladies and gentlemen, Magnum CK.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. You know what? I'll tell you what. You can call me Chris.
Chris?
No, you don't want Mr. Chris. No, no, absolutely. Oh. Hey, I appreciate it. You know, it's funny. I don't think about all, because I just try to do all the stuff I like to do. You
right.
You know, and if I can figure out a way to make some money on it, well, then all the better, you know. But really, at the end of my life, I'm not going to be like, oh, man, I wish my bank account was a little more. I'm going to be like, man, I wish I would have done X, you know.
Right. No, I completely get that, man.
Yeah.
You got to get it while you can get it.
Yeah.
While you're able to.
Yeah, you got to get that heat while you can, bro.
Right. So, let's start at the beginning. When did you see your first dick?
That's the best, because I didn't know, like, what we could say on here or whatnot, so I just totally did not expect it.
I didn't mean to, but I mean swerve you, but this is actually wrestling with penises. Wrestling with boners.
Wrestling with girth.
Yes, wrestling with girth. I don't like to dive into the, where were you born,
guys? Yeah.
Because everybody does that. What I want to know is, when does your wrestling journey begin?
Well, oddly enough, since I can remember, you know, so it's kind of the same thing. My uncle is a promoter, and he's wrapping up soon. He's having some health problems, so he's not going to be a promoter much longer, but he was a wrestler, and so I've been around it ever since I was, one of my earliest memories is meeting Wahoo McDaniel in St. Mary's, West Virginia.
Wow.
And then, like, being scared of Ivan Koloff until he let me, like, play with his big, rusty, bloody chain.
Right, right.
You know, just probably, like,
it's not
looking back.
At all.
I just remember being petrified of Lord Zoltan.
Really?
Yeah. Dude, I was like, fine.
Okay, all right, that's
you know,
fair.
Because he was scary, but now looking back, I was just talking to my cousin about this, because I love Ken Jugan. He's a great guy.
Right.
But, like, looking back on this stuff, because I watch it sometimes on YouTube, and it's like he comes out with the paint. Like, okay, maybe he's like a Joker type thing. Like, okay, that's scary to a kid, the robe. But he takes it off, and he's got, like, sugar daddy pajamas with tights on top. And I'm like, why was I afraid of this guy?
Exactly. That's the only Zoltan I know is coming out the big butts. And
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But I just remember, like, they had good guy locker room and bad guy locker room. And he would take – my uncle would take me to the good guy locker room, and it was all, like, the good guy midgets and all these other guys. Like, yay! And he's like, let's go meet the other guys. And I just petrified, you know, because they're all working me, you know. They're all scaring
right,
a little kid,
right.
You know.
Right.
But yeah, so I've just been around it forever, man. I used to take the jackets back, I would, you know, from the ring and stuff like that, or help with whatever, and I just never stopped
being
involved.
Right. Does your actual wrestling, like, training start with Arpin? Is
well,
that
where
it started?
So what? Right. So my uncle had kind of taken a bit of a break. When I turned 18, he kind of wasn't doing much, and I lived in Parkersburg, West Virginia.
Right.
And I had a lot of friends who wrestled for the local scene, and Richard Arpin was this guy who, in my opinion, is a bag of shit. But he ran wrestling, and I went down. My buddy said it was Vance Desmond. And he was like, hey, come down and we'll start messing around in the ring, you know. And I got in, and then Rich Arpin stopped me and was like, hey, Vern, if you give me $50, I'll give you a tryout, and then we'll see how much your training will cost. And I didn't have any money. And also, I was just like,
right.
F you, you know.
Right.
So what happened was, my parents had a big building out on their by their house.
Right.
And I said, hey, I'll tell you what, during the month, why don't you bring your ring out here? We'll set up your ring. You can charge guys to train, but just let me train.
Right.
You can have this building for free. Boom. I just, like, we did it for like a year almost.
Right.
So I was just in the ring a few times a week, you know, for hours and hours and hours. And just kind of went off from there, you know. And then when I took a break from wrestling for a few years for various reasons,
right.
When I came back, I trained with Mike Quackenbush and Ophidian up in Chikara.
Yeah.
So it was like a nice, like, really crash course of like, oh, that's right, stay in the middle, you know, like,
right.
Like that, like, square up, all right, that's right, I remember, you
right,
know,
right,
stuff like that.
Right. That's while we're in that neck of the woods, I'll go ahead and bring it up. Do you remember meeting me at Arpin's?
Oh God, I don't know, was I a jerk? Is this a setup?
No, this isn't me calling you out on some,
no,
like...
I remember, like, they would have lots of guys come in.
Right.
Like a rotating bunch of guys. And the only one I really remember was one guy who was a jerk. And it wasn't you, because he was a short little pudgy guy.
Right.
They had Aaron Draven doing some stuff with him.
I might have been standing behind him.
He said, Aaron Draven was like, okay, here's how you do a hip toss. I'm going to shoot you off. I'm going to give you a hip toss. And he went to do it, and the kid stopped and was like, oh, I just don't feel safe with you doing it. Could we get a bigger guy in here? And I just remember being like, I went off on the guy. I was like, none of us are getting paid for this, you jerk. Like, this guy has forgotten more than you'll know.
Right.
You'll never wrestle. You'll never even have a match.
Right.
You're wasting your money. You know, I'm just kind of because I was, you know, at the time, you know, wrestling is, as you know, it is this weird kind of brotherhood of, like, you're standing out, and people seem like outsiders, and you kind of want them to earn their stripes.
Right.
You know? But especially when you're young, you know, it's like, because I had just gone through all the dues paying, you know, and just, like, I was still in the middle of it.
Right.
I was just like, you don't get to come in here. Because the first person who ever bumped me was Aaron Draven.
Yeah.
He killed me with a clothesline. And then we did it again, and I instinctively got my hands up. And then they shot me.
Right.
I don't remember, man. The
first time I saw you was at a Mason Dixon show.
Oh.
You were wrestling in Pickens. Under this so low, like, pavilion.
That's right, a tag match.
It was you and Cash.
Yes.
Against Vance and Zach.
Because we got $100 for the car, and I remember we were like, ooh, like, we're going to IHOP.
Right. Yeah, I remember seeing you guys there, and I talked to Vance afterwards, and that's how I got hooked up with Arpin.
Gotcha.
He told me to come to Parkersburg. It was the Eric Young show. That you guys had not long ago.
Oh, that was in like Glenville, I think, maybe?
It was
Glenville
at a
university.
It was at a college or
That's
something.
That's where I had my first match. Not that night, but I had my first match in that building.
Right.
And then Dusty Rhodes was there.
Yeah.
My first match. Oh,
that,
my God.
That wasn't the night you don't
right,
come, but
Eric Young was there.
I remember that show, too.
I remember the Eric
it was
Young
Jared,
show.
Jared, it was Abyss, it was Dusty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was my first match. I was petrified.
No.
Because Dusty was watching every match.
The show I was talking about was in Kaiser.
Okay. Yeah, because they used Eric Young a few times.
Right.
Because I remember thinking, like, I didn't know his voice was really sounded like that.
Right.
I thought it was like a work.
That's
you know?
What I thought,
and I was like, this is great. He has this fascinating voice, you know.
Right.
But, Vance did most of the training, I think.
Yeah.
And, which was great because there's nobody who's more fundamentally sound, I think. I mean, he just had the fundamentals, he just gets them and he can teach them.
Right.
I mean, he taught me all. Because when I first started, the first time I bumped, I bumped like the Mountie. Like, I would take a clothesline and, like, jump in the air and go back, and they're like, oh, my God, it's not 1951. Like, you can't do that.
Right.
You know? And Vance taught me. And you know, the hardest thing for me was figuring out the ropes, running the ropes, because not hitting the ropes, but getting the steps in between without thinking about it. And Vance is the one who worked with me on that and was just, like, counted it out with me, like, okay, because it's different for everybody, you know?
Right.
And so I owe everything to Vance, really, because starting out, he taught me everything.
Right. Remember when I finally I only got, like, 3 sessions with Arpin before it shit fell apart.
Yeah.
But,
for that.
Yeah. The day it happened, I actually had already driven down there from Buckhannon, which is, like, 2.5-hour drive,
mm-hmm.
and I was sitting in a McDonald's parking lot, and just nobody showed up.
Yeah.
And that's how I found out. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I remember going to Parkersburg and sitting in the crowd after training and seeing you come out in your yellow trunks.
Oh, yeah. Gold.
Like, coming out there like an AFI, like... Real
that sucks.
Yeah, real like early Chris Kahn.
Not knowing, it was just a matter of like trying to get these reps in to figure out what you are.
Right.
You know, I mean, because you start out either not really having anything or you start out trying to be somebody.
Right.
You know, and then you kind of figure out. You see it with, I always say the same thing, you see it with stand-up comedians. Watch anybody's first set, you can tell who their favorite comedian is because they're just doing Richard Pryor.
Right.
Or whoever it is, you
know.
And then you find your voice.
Right.
I think it's the same with wrestling.
Right. People get embarrassed by all this stuff, but I mean, it's just growing pains, man.
Oh, absolutely.
Like,
nobody's ever had a good first match.
No. God, no. At that point when you're at Arpin's and you're going through the motions, finding who you are, how long until you hit that proverbial wall you're talking about where you're just like, this? Maybe this isn't for me?
Well, so...
You don't necessarily have to dive in the why.
No, I don't mind at all. It was one of those things where I feel like, so I grew up, ever since I can ever remember, all I ever thought was, I'm going to be a pro wrestler.
Right.
It's what I want, and here's what I think pro wrestling is. And then I got into it, and it kind of... I was too hard on myself. It wasn't exactly what I thought it would be.
Right.
But what I later realized and now realize is, well, wrestling kind of is what you make it. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, those 15 or 20 minutes I get out there can kind of be whatever I want it to be.
Right.
So Now I'm in a much better place about it. But at the time, I was frustrated. I wanted to be better, faster than I was, right. You know. And what happened was when the whole Arpin deal kind of fell apart, a lot of us got separated. Mm-hmm. So I was getting booked in, like, Cleveland and all these other places, big, long drives, and I didn't have any money,
right.
You know, and just a crap car. So I was making these big, long drives by myself, and, like, just money was a problem, and I was in kind of a tough spot, like, living situation-wise. Like, I was kind of homeless, but, like, not on the streets homeless, but, like, I didn't have any, you know, I was kind of crashing with a girlfriend,
right.
Kind of not.
Right.
Like, it was a weird, crashing with Vance, you know, like, it was a tough time.
Right.
And then what happened was I got randomly really sick. Like, I couldn't hold food down, you know. I was just, everything was going through me like water, and I lost a bunch of weight for about a month, and I just wasted away on Vance's couch.
Right.
And then I finally, Vance and I were booked to wrestle the Irish Airborne.
Oh.
Yeah. And then I couldn't go. I went to the hospital. Vance took me to the hospital, and I was dehydrated and never did figure out what was wrong with me. And I did a couple more matches after that, but I just kind of, like, fell off it, you know. Mm-hmm. Life just kind of went a different direction. And I started, about a year after that or so, I started doing a bunch of theater. And I got kind of on track. I got an apartment. I got, you know, stuff like that. And so I was always active with performing. But that's just kind of, it's weird because I didn't really have, like, here's my last match type thing or whatever. I just kind of fell apart of, like, not wanting to drive by myself or not being able to, you know.
Right.
Which I kick myself sometimes because I'm glad my life went the way it went. But I did miss a huge opportunity at the time, at least, because I'd wrestled a terrible, terrible, crappy match for an NWA convention, and David Marquez was there from California,
right,
from Hollywood.
Right.
And he wanted me to come out. And the other guys he wanted to come out and train for the New Japan Dojo,
right,
were Chance Profit, who did go out and train.
Right.
A fellow by the name of Fergal DeWitt, who is now Finn Balor.
Right.
And Carl Anderson.
Okay.
A couple guys you might have heard of.
A group of guys.
You know, but to me, the way I grew up, I didn't have a lot of support. Everything just felt impossible. And I thought, that can't be me. I can't do that.
Right.
I can't go to California and do this. But I'm glad I didn't, because I ended up meeting my second wife, my final wife.
Right.
You know, but everything worked out the way it did, and I have two great stepdaughters. But the cool thing is, I've reconnected with Dave, and we got some stuff cooking. You know, so it's like one of those things where for the longest time it seemed like maybe, oh my God, I missed the boat. But it's like, no, I just got a later boat.
Right.
You know, and part of the reason I came back was that one regret of, like, I could have gone to LA, I could have maybe gone to freaking New Japan. Like, even if I wrestled one time in
right,
New Japan,
right,
it would be great. So now it's like, well, let's go. Let's try it.
That's the thing about wrestling, man. As long as you work hard enough at it, there are a million boats.
Exactly. Well, it's one of those things where I just recently saw a great Einstein quote where he said, I'm not smarter than anybody. I just stick with the problem longer.
Right.
And I think that's the thing, too. It's like, if I had stuck around for a little bit longer, you know, I came in with guys like Greg Iron and Johnny Gargano and stuff like that, and they're all doing stuff. You know,
right,
all these guys are doing stuff. So it's just sticking with the problem. And, you know, I took a detour, but it's not like I just sat home on my couch. Like, I performed. I learned other art forms. I studied in Chicago at Second City. And
right,
it's all helped me with wrestling.
Right.
It's all the same.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a little break, and I'll be right back with Chris. Con? I'll be back with Magnum CK. Is your wardrobe too dull? Too run-of-the-mill? Do you look down at your T-shirts and say, I need more ghosts on this? Then go over to ProWrestlingTees.com/Matt Connard and spook up your wardrobe today. That's ProWrestlingTees.com/Matt Connard. And we're back with Magnum CK Chris Con whatever.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. So I'm going to get into a lot of your other hats while we have time.
Sure, yeah.
You've got a million of them.
Yeah, I try.
Was it wrestling drew you to theater, or was it just was it the wrestler thing of being in front of a crowd?
It kind
of
was. I'll tell you what, to be honest, it was girls, because I did. They made us do a play in ninth grade, and I was terrible. I was the drizzling shits of the ninth grade. They gave me one line. I was basically the tree, you know, and it was awful. And then I was always a short, chubby kid. And then over the summer break between junior year and senior year, I started kind of working out around junior year.
Right.
And then I just shot up in height. And all of a sudden I wasn't a chubby guy anymore. I was just kind of a big, kind of a little muscly guy.
Right.
And then they needed guys for this, for the theater program. And my English teacher also ran the program. She's like, listen, please audition for this. Like, here's the funny thing. She literally was talking about, like, because I was like, I can't have to work. She's like, how much are they paying you? Like, I need guys.
Right.
You know, and
right,
I was like, fine. So I worked it out. I mean, obviously they didn't let her pay me, but But then I realized that I was one of like two or three guys, and it was all these cute girls, and I had never really had to. I mean, you know, I had girlfriends here and there, but I was never, you know, very very popular with the ladies.
Right.
You know? And all of a sudden, I was getting all this attention, and it was just like. And then then by putting in reps without realizing it, I got kind of good at it, and I just kept doing it.
Right.
You know, yeah. But it is. Wrestling is theater. It's just theater on a square stage. You know?
Right.
It's just it hurts a lot more.
Right.
But it is all the same.
Yeah.
You know? It's the same concept of like. You know, you don't pull out a table and then not use it. Just like you don't pull out a gun in the first act without using it in the third act. You know what I mean? It's
right.
all the same type of idea.
Right.
It's all entertainment.
Right.
It's all like you don't blow your load in the first scene. You build to it. Right.
Right.
Exactly.
What's your favorite role you've done? Because I've seen you played Frankenfurter.
Yeah.
You played
that one was
Frederick Frankenstein.
That was a dream role because I saw Young Frankenstein. I had only ever done plays. I'd never done a musical. I'd never sung a note in my life.
Right.
And a girlfriend at the time got me tickets for Young Frankenstein, and I always loved the movie. I love Mel Brooks.
Right.
And I thought, I was so depressed. I was like, I'll never be in the show. I'm not a singer. I'm not a dancer. I can't do this. And then Rocky Horror auditions came up the next year, and I just went for it. And luckily, they just didn't have a Frankenfurter show up. So I got it. And that was probably the most fun I've ever had. It's where I met my wife. You know, I've never felt more like a superstar when that dump, and I get ready to pop out of the thing, and like the crowd would just go crazy because Frankenfurter is that play's written beautifully because it all is building up to you don't see Frank for like five scenes,
right.
And then it's just like finally there he is.
Right.
Look at him.
Yeah.
So I mean, I just felt like a rock star, and that was the first time in my life I ever thought, oh, you can't think about it, you just got to go do it.
Right.
Because if I would have stood back there and thought I am. You know, I lost a bunch of weight for that role to be thinner. But I was like, if I would have thought, I'm in 5-inch heels, I'm about to walk out here in a corset and
right.
makeup and bleach blonde hair,
yeah.
and I've never sung a note in front of people in my life, I would have just puked.
Yeah.
But instead, I was just like, you know the first note, go.
Yeah,
you know, just get started and go for it. So I just went for it, and that was a good lesson. You know, don't think about it. And that translates into wrestling. If I ever stopped and thought about, okay, now when I take this backdrop, I need to take 3 steps this way, hit the ropes, come out, I would lay it on my neck.
Right.
But if I'm just like, oh, yeah, backdrop, just go, you know, then, you know, it's just muscle memory.
Right. Is there a – how hard was it to go from being on stage to – the director's chair, like, is there a big, like, a hard transition there?
It isn't, it isn't, because I realize that I'm like that type A personality of like, well, first and foremost, I'm a collaborator, so like, I'm very good about being like, hearing everybody's ideas and realizing that I don't always have the best idea. I just need to be the guy who finds the good one. You
right.
know what I mean? It doesn't have to come from me necessarily.
Right.
And trust me, I've had plenty of ideas where I've been like, hey, try this. Oh my God, never do it again. It was terrible. I'm so sorry. I'll get you a coffee or something.
Right.
You know. But it was just one of those things where I spent so much time doing it, and I just have that personality that I thought, I didn't think I would start directing plays and stuff until I was in my 40s. I just turned 31, and I just directed my first musical a couple months ago. But what really happened was my friend Mike Rhodes and I made a documentary about
right.
pro wrestling called Marking Out.
Right.
It's on Amazon Prime. And the way it kind of worked out is I fell into a co-director role. Mike and I really collaborate well together. So then I realized, like, okay, I can do this.
Right.
Like, I can, like, have a vision. And I've always been pretty good at communicating with people. So it was kind of a smooth transition in a weird way. But I think that whether certain people like to believe it or not, I'm a very genuine person, and I think that translates well to directing because I'm also very positive to other people. Like, why I might have anxiety or negativity toward myself, I'm always very supportive because I know what it's like to do a wrestling show or be in a play or a musical and feel like someone wants you to fail.
Right.
So I've never wanted to give anybody that. Like, I don't care if I hate their guts. Before they go out, it's going to be like, you're going to kill it. You're the best ever. You know?
Right.
and just trying to accentuate people's positives. You know?
Right.
But I think that's a long, rambling way of saying it. I think it was a smooth transition, really.
Right. Well, since you brought it up, I want to talk about it because it's not kissing your ass. I've told you this before.
Yeah.
Marking Out is one of my favorite wrestling
documentaries
I've ever seen. Like, because it doesn't focus on any of the negatives. It doesn't focus
yeah.
on one certain like big wrestling empire. It focuses on what's really important in wrestling, the fandom.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and the fun in wrestling. And like not being embarrassed by being a wrestling fan. That yeah, it's all wrestling.
Yeah,
it's all relative. But
and I think that idea comes from my partner, not my partner, my movie making partner,
right.
Mike Rhodes. We are partners, life partners. But but no, we talk all day every day. I mean, we gel together.
Right.
We're in constant text conversation. But that comes from him because we were talking about, we both love Beyond the Mat. Beyond the Mat is probably his one of his favorite movies.
Right.
But we thought, how many, you know, there's the movie 1001 Reasons Not to Be a Pro Wrestler, and there's The Life and Death of Chris Benoit.
Right.
And all of a sudden we're like, we went to it, you know, we talked about Chikara, and we're like, this is fun.
Right.
Like, what if we just focus on fun? And
right.
like, the question of, why do people love this? Like, because wrestling's different, because it's not just, oh, I love, you know, I love The Walking Dead. No, it's like, I love wrestling, but don't tell anybody. You know what I mean? Like, no one's ever, like, no one's a closet Walking Dead fan.
Right.
Like, it's just okay to be a Walking Dead fan. So we're trying to figure out, like, what causes this? You know, how do women, how do female fans get treated? Why are these people called marks?
Right.
You know, why is it pejorative? Is it pejorative?
Right.
You know, stuff like that. And then, and without really having much of a plan and just trusting that we would just find some fun, and that's
right.
just what we tried to do.
Right. Was it the documentary that got, that gave you the bug to want to get back in? Was that what?
It absolutely was.
Yeah.
Two things. It was a documentary, and as we were making the documentary, I got divorced, and the woman that I met in Rocky Horror, we got together and got engaged and got married. We got married shortly after the documentary came out, but it was the two things. It was the hopping back in and just really kind of rediscovering, and I credit Mike for this, Mike Rose, because he just rekindled this, oh my God, wrestling's great and fun, and I have some left in my tank. I can do this. And then my wife being like, I can tell, she literally just stopped me one day. She's like, I can tell how much you care about this. Why don't you just do it? What is stopping you?
Right.
And she's the person who made me realize, like, yeah, you can just do whatever. Like, you can just give it a try.
Right,
you know,
right.
why not?
Right.
And, you know, it's one of those deals where I'm just trying to make hay while the sun shines. And if I was done tomorrow, I'd consider it a success because I feel like I've done a lot of things I've wanted to do,
right.
and I'm having fun, and I've met a lot of friends and rekindled a lot of friendships.
Right.
You know.
I respect the shit out of you, man, for driving all the way to Philly. Like,
that was rough, bro.
Well, yeah.
That, because my class in Chikara was at like 10 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
so I had to leave my house at like 11 or 12. Because it's 8 or 9 hours or whatever, but like it always takes longer,
right?
You know, and so I would drive overnight, and a couple of times my wife went with me, and I think one time we even stayed, but it was a rough drive. But
right.
you know what? It was just because I had the match. Because Adam Johnson from Remix was gracious enough to let me just come back and have a match,
right?
What sight unseen. But I was like, I gotta get in the ring first. I gotta get, because it's all, you know, it's a mental game,
right?
It's like, can I do this? I don't want to find out in front of 1,000 people.
Right.
I'd
right.
rather find out in front of Quackenbush and like 19 people.
Right, right, exactly.
And take that first bump because it does. It is killer.
Right. Holy shit.
Bloody TJ Phillips coming down.
Damn. Coming back in and striking up a friendship with Jock, how has it been coming in at this tag team dynamic? Like, have you been enjoying it?
Absolutely, because he has been my transition back into it.
Right.
You know, Jock's in a different point of his career. He's a few years older than me, and he's said himself, he's not done, he's not finished, but he is taking a few less booking. You know, he is kind of slowing down a bit just because he's got a daughter and she's getting older and everything.
Right.
But he has been great because not only is he super supportive, I mean, you know, you guys think you know Jock Sampson, you don't. He's a great guy. He'll kill me for saying it.
Right.
But he'd give you the money out of his wallet and the shirt off his back. And he's been a great supportive guy because he's given me a lot of advice since I've come back.
Right.
And also all the contacts, because all these people know Jock Sampson. So now I'm booked, you know, we're IWE East Coast champions. Like, that's,
right.
that's to me, like 10 years ago, I'd have been like, get out of what?
Right.
Like, that's crazy. Like, I've wrestled in Canada because of Jock Sampson.
Right.
You know, like, it's just cool. He's a connector. You know, those types of people that put people together. He's a connector for
right.
sure.
Right.
Absolutely.
You, do you have a couple minutes to stick around and play a game with me?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. All right, we'll be right back, and we will wrap up with Magnum CK.
Yeah.
Hey guys, just a couple things real quick. You can follow the show on Twitter at Wrestling Death, and you can follow me at Reaper Matt C. We didn't get to it in the interview, but I just wanted to plug Chris's podcast, which is called Super Wrestle Show. If you're a fan of Mystery Science Theater, then you'll love this. It's just him and a bunch of guys just making fun of bad wrestling, just watching wrestling and, you know, riffing on it. So Super Wrestle Show on iTunes and whatnot. All right, back to the show. All right, we're back with Magnum CK. I'm just gonna go with that, you and your seven names.
That's fine, I know.
All right, before we get in the game, let's shoot off the questions we got.
Sure.
First from Marcus Mann, who would win in a pose down, you or Jock?
Oh, jock, for sure, because it's ironic. I mean, I'm not Mr. Olympia, but I'm a pretty big buff guy. But right. People would cheer for Jock because he's like the Zach Galifianakis. You know what I mean? Like, I mean that in the best way.
Right.
Because I mean, he just has that weird it factor. You right. know, he just gets over everywhere.
Second question from @MarcusManBHS on Twitter. What's the most beer you've consumed on the 4th of July?
Oh, a lot.
Yeah, a lot?
A lot. Yeah. It's funny because I remember my dad's a musician, and he was playing somewhere 4th of July probably 10 years ago. And they had free drinks, and I don't even know how many. I mean, it was, right. you know, but it was too many.
Right. Third question from @TheMarkMan6 on Instagram.
All right.
Roger and Hammerstein or Andrew Lloyd Webber?
I'm going to have to go Andrew Lloyd Webber just because I think Rodgers and Hammerstein, while it's classic and yeah. everything, it's just a little corny,
right.
a little cornball.
Right. right. And finally, from John Will, I'm kidding, it's Marcus again. could you outleg press a gorilla?
I'll tell you what, I might be able to outleg press a gorilla, but I cannot out gorilla press a gorilla. my gorilla press, I can get the weights up in the gym, but gorilla press is tough for me. The worst injury I ever had was on stage. It was the last night of Rocky Horror. I did like a side stage fall, which is different from wrestling.
Right.
And my elbow got underneath of me, and I jammed my left shoulder, and I couldn't grip a dumbbell for a year. I mean, it was a long time. And DDP yoga, actually, oddly enough, I don't do it much anymore, but it kind right. of rehabbed that shoulder, and now I can lift the weights. But bodies are different. Like, I just got Bruce Gray up for a little gorilla press thing, but I'm tentative to do the full extension. Just because I feel like it pinches too much.
Right.
But you know, he's 165 pounds. I could overhead press more than that in the gym.
Right.
But a body is different.
It's way different weight. Man. Way different. Way. All right. You ready to play the game?
Oh yeah. Well, let's go.
Let's play. It's time to play the game. Time to play the game. All right, this game is called Tinseltown and Tights.
All right.
I figured this would be a good one for you.
Sure.
Basically, I'm gonna read a movie description to you.
Yeah.
And you have to tell me what's the name of the movie and what wrestler stars in the movie.
This is a fake movie.
These are real.
Oh, okay.
Real movie descriptions.
All right, I got you.
So here we go. This first one will probably be easy. Sam Hell's mission is to free 8 women from a wasteland harem, then procreate the species.
This is the easy one?
Yeah.
Is this the one with Buff Bagwell?
No.
No.
It sounds like it, but no.
They rescue 8 women and then procreate. Oh, my God. I have no idea. I haven't heard of that one, no.
You want to take a wild guess?
What year, what time frame would it be from?
It's early 90s.
Early 90s. It can't be a Roddy Piper movie. No, it is. Yeah,
maybe.
I don't know. I gotta tap out.
All right,
tap out on this one.
The movie's called Hell Comes to Frogtown.
I was gonna say the Frog movie with Roddy Piper. I swear to God, but I couldn't remember it.
And it was Roddy Piper.
That's half points. I had it in my brain.
I'll give you half points for Roddy.
Because I was like, the Frog one with Piper's gotta be. Right.
These two are gonna be really hard.
Okay. I'm doing great so far.
Former wrestler Sean Armstrong takes a job as a bodyguard and nanny for Alex Jr. and Kate.
That's
two children of Alex Manson.
That's Terry Jean Bollea, right? That's Mr. Nanny, isn't it?
Yep.
All right. That's 1.5 points.
You got a point.
Yes.
You gotta get this one to win.
Okay.
It's two out of three.
All right, I got you.
And
I'm at 1.5.
The title of this one's in it, but there's a sub to it. So you gotta think of the whole title.
I'll try.
All right. Dylan Dog is a world-famous private detective who specializes in the affairs of the Walking Dead.
Dylan Dog is a...
It's a Brandon Routh vehicle.
Brandon Routh. Can you read it? Dylan Dog is a...
I'll read more to you.
Okay.
Armed with silver, wooden bullets, and razor-sharp wit, Dylan works his latest case, tracking down a dangerous missing artifact.
Is this... Pro Wrestlers versus Vampires. It's Pro Wrestlers versus Frankenstein. Dylan Dog, you know what? Legitimately, I haven't heard of this one. I have no idea.
It's one of the harder ones. That's why I put it in here. The movie's called Dylan Dog, Dead of Night.
Dead of Night. Okay. No, I have not heard of that one.
The wrestler in the movie is Kurt Angle. He plays a werewolf.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I just got done with a great conversation with John Morrison, who, by the way, is the coolest guy.
Right.
And we're talking about his, Boyd the Bounty Hunter?
Yeah, I think it's
It's not out yet as we record this, right. But I didn't know he wrote and produced and directed that himself.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Yeah. I had no idea. So support that guy, because that is hard to do.
Yeah, man.
But it's coming out. And I've heard of it. I've heard of it all over the place. So someone's doing a good job getting that out there.
But
so I lost this game, but you can win in life if you go watch John Morrison's Bounty Hunter movie.
Before we get out of here, I'll let you go real quick. Plug your stuff. Get your shit over.
Oh, man. I think I'm at the Magnum CK on most of the stuff. But, yeah, I have a Facebook like page, but you can go on there. But Twitter and Instagram are probably the deal. But, really, I try to just support everybody else as much
as I can. Where can we find the Marking Out documentary? Because I want people to see it.
Amazon Prime. It's streaming on there.
Right.
It's just called Marking Out. And if not, you can rent it on there. Or get a hold of me. I'll get you a DVD. I'll mail one out to you or something, you know. But I think it's worth a watch. It starts out with Stan Hansen. It's a hard way to start it, but it's all downhill after Stan.
I can't recommend it enough. It's got heart. It's got humor.
I'm glad to hear that.
I really dig it, man. It's legitimately one documentary I've watched more than once.
I appreciate that. I had a guy message me, and this is not BS. He was like, when I'm having a bad day, I pop in Marking Out.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's
fun, and you don't have to like wrestling to watch it.
Right. You really don't.
I don't think you do.
You really don't, man. Chris?
Yeah, man.
I appreciate it, buddy.
I appreciate you, bro. And we didn't talk about it. You're sitting here in face paint this whole time.
Right. For reasons unknown.
Yeah. I'm not going to say who's face paint, but there you go.
What it is with the Wrestling with Boners podcast is I pick a random fetish I think someone would have and see if it works. And obviously it's working for you.
Yeah, obviously. At least 75%. Right. I'm almost there.
I'll get you to 100. Thanks again, Chris.
Thanks,
I appreciate
bro.
It. For Magnum CK, I'm Matt Connard. Stay cool, cool. No kids like me. I'm not a kid, Max. Which I'm fine with.
My wife
with.
Just said someone might have died going through a table upstairs.
That sounds like something I shouldn't be ashamed of. I'm not a kid.
I'm not a kid, Max.
Darn it.
I know.
Kids aren't attracted to me.